Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets, the finest podcast in Mzansi. Back again, I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, with, of course, Banele Pikwa and Pro Pilani. Gents, thanks for coming again.
I'm surprised you started with my name this time. You usually start with Pro Pilani, but this time you started with my name.
Yeah, I've been getting some stick. Apparently, I should leave the best for last. So?
No comment.
Obviously, intriguing times this week. We saw Morocco Swallows move to the top of the DStv Premiership. They beat Kaizer Chiefs in midweek. Impressive result for them. Not so much for Kaizer Chiefs, of course. Swallows, as I mentioned, now log leaders. Yo, I'm sure a lot of eyebrows were raised in midweek.
Yeah, look, I mean, we didn't expect this. Well, I didn't expect this from me, Morocco Solos. I know they've assembled a good squad, but they signed in a lot of players. I didn't expect them to be like
just a gel.
Yeah, like so quick. And I have to say, I've been impressed with some of the youngsters, guys like Abou Given, Tibet, and Unno over there at the back. He looks like a gem.
He's
so
solid, eh?
Yeah, he looks very solid. So yeah, there was
you
some.
You say youngster, he's 26.
Well, he's inexperienced for EPFL, yeah. So for the league, he's still young. But yeah, for that, I think Solos have assembled a very good squad. I mean, I think they'll be more competitive than everyone thought.
Momentum. Solos come from a winning momentum. Chiefs from a losing momentum. Remember, the Pub Swallows came out of nowhere, 7 points behind Ajax Cape Town. They went on to clinch the league. Chiefs squandered how many points lead?
13, I think. Well, they were 13 at 13 one point.
Yeah.
Good games in hand, of course, for Sundowns.
Yes, eventually lost the league. So you can see that, I mean, Morocco Swallows is still carrying that, was still carrying that momentum. With Kaizer Chiefs, you know, the more things, the more games are being played, the more you know you see cracks and you start to get even more worried.
I think we're gonna have to discuss this every week, and I'm sure our listeners are even getting bored of us discussing it. But a few weeks ago, you did say Chiefs to finish outside the top eight, and I think it's a comment that sits heavy on many of our chests, and now we have to address it every week. I'm sure it's something you still stand by.
Yes.
Banele,
I'm not going to change until those players start convincing everyone.
Is it, okay, wait, before you go on, is it only the players? Because Gavin Hunt is, yes, he's proven currently is undoubtedly the best coach in the league at the moment, so I don't think you can argue that. But is he also to blame? You can't really look at the players and perhaps he should be getting more.
Yeah, Gavin Hunt also needs to be blamed. Mm-hmm. He's the one who trains the players, he's the one who selects the team, so he needs to shoulder 50% of the blame.
Nearly 50%. Look, that's a bit lenient, I think.
Look, what I can say is that when Rolani was still at the Orlando Pirates last season, if you had predicted that the Pirates are going to finish third, everyone would have laughed at you. If you had predicted that the Chiefs at some point they would have bottled the league, a lot of people wouldn't have believed you. So what I'm trying to say here, it's still early days. Even overseas, if I can make an example, Man United, if I told you they'll finish third, people would have laughed at you.
Yeah,
so
they were like 12th at one stage.
Exactly. So it's still early days. Chiefs have only played five games, and they're missing some couple of key players, guys like Abou Nukovic, Frostler. So no excuses, but as soon as those players come in, and we know EPSL, I mean, the gap is not so big. You win one or two, three games in a row, and then you start being again in the thick of things. So, yeah, I wouldn't really rule them out of top eight as yet. But the more games are played, I'm starting to see why people like Pro are saying Chiefs won't finish outside the top eight.
I definitely do understand what you're saying with the whole players missing and stuff. But now, will it get a bit worse before it gets better? With them obviously out for still a couple of bit more weeks.
Well, look, I'd say they needed the international break. We saw against Arrows, they were a little bit more sharp. Even against Swallows in the first half, there were some signs that, okay, they want to create chances. But in the second half, obviously, there were the Chiefs that we saw against your Pirates, your Sundowns, that don't look like they'll score any time. So I think maybe there are some signs there and there, but very, very minimal signs. Like, it's very slow progress that's happening there.
Yeah, speaking of Kaizer Chiefs, you know, normally when you say they're up against Cameroonian champions or any champions across Africa, you'd expect that team to be favourites, but not really so much in this case, because it's obviously the Cameroonian team's first time winning the league and it's their first time in the CAF Champions League. So perhaps, surely, Kaizer Chiefs will fancy their chances this weekend.
Kaizer Chiefs needs this match more than that Cameroonian team. Kaizer Chiefs need to have that winning feeling once again. Because, I mean, since Gavin Hunt took over, they've lost four times. They've won twice. They've drawn once. Having said they've won twice, one of the games they won via an own goal. So you can see that when it comes to confidence, they don't have that confidence. But they need this trip to Cameroon as a team-building exercise. They need to look at each other as teammates, those players, and start fighting for one another. They need to fight for the young boys who are there. They need to fight for the badge. They need to fight for the club. And I think this is CAF Champions League is an opportunity for Kaizer Chiefs to redeem themselves. They need to give it their best shot. They need to stay as long as possible. I strongly believe that they will come back with at least a draw, and they will finish the tie in the second round here in South Africa.
Looking at PWD Bermendes, they lost fixture. I think their last competitive game was way back in March. You think that will favour Kaizer Chiefs in this fixture?
Not really. They've actually prepared for this game very well. They've played some home and away fixtures against Libyan clubs like Abu Al Hilal. So they went to Libya and they played the second leg. So you can see they were kind of like giving the players that little bit of traveling and Champions League kind of like feel where you go to other countries and play, even though it was friendlies. But I mean, one could tell by the results and how serious the teams are. Which, okay, they really are preparing for this game. So Chiefs mustn't underestimate this club and say you lost played a competitive game in March. I mean, we saw. Everyone was saying the same thing with the PSG in the Champions League back in the off season, but we saw they made it all the way to the finals. I'm not saying this team will make it all the way to the finals, but I'm saying
don't rule them out.
Exactly, a team can use friendlies to prepare for such tournaments.
Pro said a draw. Do you think Chiefs will get perhaps a draw or something more than it?
Yeah, look, I'm still saying Chiefs win or draw. I mean, this is massive experience for guys like Abo Blom, Abo Ngobo. Mm-hmm. Champions League experience, you don't get it every day, especially if you're playing for a club like Kaizer Chiefs. I mean, this is the first time they've made Champions League since 2016, and at that time also they had been missing for so many years. So mm-hmm. It's not an everyday thing for Kaizer Chiefs. So this will be a vital experience for the youngsters.
Speaking of the CAF Champions League, biggest tournaments in Africa, Al Ahly this Friday against Zamalek. Of course, we're going to be a bit patriotic and backpit some Osimhen to get the job done with Al Ahly.
Yes. Unfortunately, COVID-19 has taken away that fierceness that one was expecting. Because, you know, when Al Ahly plays Zamalek, it's the biggest derby in Africa, arguably is. And you'd expect Peter Mosimane's charges to be in control of the ball as usual, but you know that Zamalek, they've got a great pace, they've got two wonderful players who have been dominating and playing very well in the Egyptian Premier League. For me, the absence of Dieng for Al Ahly is one that Peter Mosimane will live to regret, because he's the key player in that team. Even when we watch Al Ahly games, Peter Mosimane doesn't miss an opportunity to shout at him. He wants him to be in control of that midfield. He wants him to be in control of the ball. He wants him to be everywhere in midfield. So he will miss that soldier. He will miss that type of player. You know, when it comes to the final, I don't know what to expect at the moment. Maybe as time goes on, maybe, it won't go to the penalties.
Is that your prediction? You're going to give our listeners a penalty shootout prediction?
Yeah, it's a penalty shootout.
Panele?
Look, it's obviously going to be a tight game, and mm-hmm. I think we've been robbed so much in this game. I mean, first time teams from the same country are playing in a CAF Champions League final, and this time it's also a derby too. I mean, whenever these teams play, like Kupro said, it's fireworks, and yeah, Zamalek and Al Ahly, two of the most successful teams in this competition. Al Ahly haven't won it like 8 times, and Zamalek like 5 times. So that tells you the pedigree that's going to be in this final. So I think Kupitso, this final against a team like Kizama, like it came too soon for him. But if there was ever someone who can win a Champions League with Al Ahly, having been at the club for 2 months, I think it was only Kupitso. So they obviously hired the right coach. But yeah, Kizama, like for me, I think they'll bank on the fact that Mamelodi Sundowns had, Al Ahly had that slight change by bringing in Mamelodi Sundowns technical team, Pitso Mosimane, along with the Obo KB and with Abo Kevin Johnson. So that's a slight advantage. I know Pitso hasn't lost a game, he's done well at Al Ahly, but with all due respect, the teams he has faced are not his Zamalek. This is a difficult one, this is a different ball game, but we've been robbed of six key players, like Upro said, three from me, Zamalek, and three from me, Al Ahly, all of them testing positive for COVID-19, and there's not going to be fans. I know they're allowing 20 people, which is like the media and all of that. So, yeah, we've been robbed so much. I mean, this was going to be a cracking final if things were normal.
Under normal circumstances, of course, it would be a completely different game. But for now, your prediction?
I think it's a tough one. It's a really tough one, and it's hard to call. But because of the continuity's sake, and these two clubs, whenever they face each other in the league, whoever's at home was like winning the last three seasons. So they've been beating each other. And Zamalek, the last time they met in August, were 3-1 winners against Al Ahly. So on that, I'll bank on Zamalek and say maybe they can edge it because of the continuity that's there at the club. But I'm not going to rule out Al Ahly. I'd say 51-49 chance. I mean, Al Ahly have got a very, very strong chance coming into this game. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Upitso winning this one.
Sure. Well, let's take our flight back to South Africa. Football in Mzansi returns with a Friday night clash between Maritzburg United and SuperSport United. Maritzburg United under the lights Friday night for the first time this season. Of course, they're not coachless, but obviously had Eric Tinkler departed last week, and then Dalton Buckley given the reins as interim. We know who's been linked with the job in the meantime. What do you think will happen in this tie, Pro?
Maritzburg United, they need points desperately. This is one fixture that they cannot afford to drop any points. They really need to need this one. With the rumors of the new coach coming in, because I heard somewhere where the chairman said that the coach will be in the stands watching the match on Friday. So I'm just hoping that it will motivate the players. Also, not taking nothing away from Delron. I know that he's an experienced guy. He's been in Germany. He has played football. He has played for Bafana. But I think this opportunity came too soon for him. I still needed him to work more as an assistant, but I'm glad that management went on to look for an experienced coach, because the position they are in at the moment is not good, especially for people of Maritzburg, because the PSL needs Friday nights. Yeah. Those Friday nights are the most exciting in the league. I strongly believe that Maritzburg will win this one.
Sure. Well, we spoke about SuperSport United in particular last week, and Caetano Tembo and the struggles he's going through at the moment. We had a big debate on whether he'll last the full season. Of course, Eric Tinkler didn't. What's your thoughts this weekend? Friday night, rather.
Look, I mean, being out of the MTN 8 in the manner of which SuperSport were knocked out, and if things go according to what Pro says and Maritzburg do when come Friday night, I think it will be the first yellow card for Caetano Tembo. For me, I did say Uti is already on a yellow card, but yeah. Pro objected. But I think
so. It's just a warning.
If Maritzburg do win this game, especially if they win convincingly, I think it will be a very strong yellow card for Caetano Tembo.
you know, Caetano Tembo is not under any pressure.
Can't be.
In my opinion, he's not.
I think I have to disagree with that.
He actually is.
I think the demands have changed in SuperSport United. Now that the more cups they've won over the past couple of years, I think, you know, they've enjoyed that success and now they want it to continue. So perhaps if it doesn't happen again.
Last season, he was given a mandate to finish in the top three, and he must at least get 50 points. The reason the management didn't say anything is the fact that he did get 50 points. He had 50 on the dot, even though he was outside the top three. Okay, fine, they forgive him because he still had that 50 points that they had asked for. So this time around, surely the mandate has to change. I mean, you can't ask for 50 points this season and again next season you ask for 45 points. It doesn't make sense. Surely now they'll ask for 45, and I don't think he'll get to 45. And this is his fourth season. I mean, if you can't get something now, for me, surely a red card has to
If Caetano Tembo were to be fired this season, it will be the biggest shock of my life.
No,
I don't see Caetano Tembo getting fired anytime soon.
Put on your seatbelt.
Prepare for it. It might even happen before New Year's Eve. So, by the way, Super Sport is along a corner. Anything is possible. But in terms of this game, I'm in agreement with Dupro. I think Maritzburg did the right thing. I mean, we heard Dupro last week saying Eric Tinkler has to decide if he wants to be at Maritzburg United.
You said the right call for Tinkler to go.
Yeah. I think it was, seven defeats in a row, winless in 14 games. I think for me.
The last one was in March.
Yeah, for me, that's sackable. It was a very good decision from the club.
It's actually the last time the Cameroonian champions played a game.
He actually asked to be fired if you look at it.
Yeah, definitely.
You can't go 11 games, 8 losses, mm-hmm. 3 draws. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And also, I think he also set the demand so high for himself. You're not doing so well, and then you're not just dropping down. I think that's also what Panelli and I are trying to say with Caetano Tempo. He's done so well, and now, you know, that's almost what we expect all the time now. So the minute you start to deteriorate, then, you know, we start to raise our eyebrows and think, you know what, perhaps it's time for you to walk.
And with the chairman saying that Eric Tinkler lost the control of the dressing room, one wonders if he also got the full backing of the management, because if the coach is rumored to have lost the backing of the players in the dressing room, so what were the management doing? Also, the assistant, his preferred choice of assistant, he was also fired because management felt that he was not
good enough.
An assistant coach. He was just there for the ride. So you ask yourself questions. How do you hire a person and then later on you just say this guy was here for the ride. He's not an assistant coach at all. He was not doing any coaching duties. So you tend to pick up some stuff around Maritzburg United and to say to yourself, no, it's... There's a loss that is happening mm-hmm. that we are not reading about and we are not aware of.
Sure.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot that's happening there.
Well, Pro, you did mention being surprised this season. How much would Pirates winning the league surprise you?
I don't think that they will win the league, but I think that they will push whoever will win
the league. How much would it surprise you? Let's say they do win it, hypothetically speaking, they break their trophy drought and win the league.
I would be shocked.
Would you consider it an upset? Because I know you.
Yes, I'll consider it an upset. Because to be honest, Orlando Pirates is 70% there. Mm-hmm. They're not yet there.
What's missing from the 30%? Do you think?
It's consistency. I think technically they need to be consistent. The issue of captaincy as well. The issue of center back partnering, the issue of central midfield, Motswari, Monare, Makaringe, Zungu, you need consistency in the heart of midfield. Like you see at Chiefs, they've got Katsande consistently. Last season, they won almost 80% of the games with Katsande there. So you understand that you need, your spine needs to be consistent. And, I'm happy that Mango is back. He's going to assist them up front. I'm happy that Mabasa is back. He's going to assist them with goals. But at the back, I'm still not convinced.
Question marks.
Yeah.
Panelli. Well, one thing that's been consistent about the Orlando Pirates is the fact that they haven't been losing games. I mean, they've been very consistent about that. Rosenbauer has only lost 2 games ever since he came on. And if you look at it, I know man of the match, it's something that's been chosen outside, like by whatever who chooses. But ever since he took charge of the Orlando Pirates, his players always get him man of the match. If it's the opposition, it's always the goalkeeper. So that's something
small to look at, yeah, but it's definitely something.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, if whenever opposition is man of the match, it's the goalkeeper. It tells you how the Pirates have been attacking. And yeah, for me, I think on that one, they have been consistent on that. I know the captaincy thing and the midfield, like the chopping and changing, like Upro has said, eventually it will get to them. He needs to sort that out as soon as possible because you don't want to be challenging for the league where you aren't decided about your captain, you aren't decided about your anchor in midfield, because those are key things that you need, especially if you are to challenge for the league. But I wouldn't consider Pirates winning the league an upset. I think for me, they are favourites. And yeah.
Speaking of that captaincy situation, how would both of you guys handle it? Panela, I'll start with you, because obviously Tyson's coming now. Bafana Bafana, captain, he's come. He's captain Wits, of course. He comes with so much reputation, and he's exactly what Pirates have needed over the past couple of years. Jaylee's been with them for so long. He's served the club as a good servant, a good captain. He's obviously won titles with them as well. So how do you handle it?
look, if you remember the very first podcast for this season, I said the criminal at Orlando Pirates is there at the back. He's wearing an armband, and I think taking him out was a very good has helped. It was a very good decision. I would have done the same thing if I was Usain Bawa. I would have taken Happy Jelly out straight to the bench. For me, I think that's where he belongs because he's been costing the club. I know they love him so much. He's been there. He's been captain, the leader.
But emotions aside,
mm-hmm. he's been the one that's been costing the club more than the goalkeepers.
I totally agree.
So, okay, so you, by agreeing, you know, the 30% that you did say, you know, they're lacking in terms of challenging for the title. You mentioned the centre-back pairing. Now, Zinbao is actually doing that. He's dropped Jelly. He's playing Yoza and Tyson. I think he's getting it right at the moment, and I don't think we can fault him for that.
Yeah, you won't fault him for that, but you must also understand that Tyson at the moment, mm-hmm. his weakness, he can't play from the back, mm-hmm. and because he can't play from the back, that's Happy Jelly's strength.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Jelly knows how to
especially
play from
those
the
long
back.
Balls as well.
And you can't always play long balls all the time because there are teams that are going to wait for the ball from you, and they will use that ball. They will punish you. Now, Tyson needs to work on that, and also he's a bit erratic on 1v1. Now, he doesn't have the calmness in his own box. So there's a possibility that he might concede more penalties than he did at Vets last season. So for me, if JZ can work on Tyson's errors, if he can work on Tyson's ability to play from the back, well, he might have a shout. Yeah, I think he might finish second comfortably. there is Ntsege Nyawuza as a back as well. Mm-hmm. Back as well. I also feel that Mayela should be converted to a left centre back,
mm-hmm.
to partner Tyson.
But then, okay, would you go to a back three now if you're playing Mayela left centre back, or is it just flat back four with
a
Mayela?
Mayela as a left centre back. They can find someone else to play left back because I'm also Ogani not convinced
Sam has
with
been closing out as well.
I'm also not convinced with Paseka Mago at mm-hmm. the back.
Yeah, I'm also not convinced. And should something happen to Tyson, say maybe he picks up an injury, say he's out for like 5 to 6 months, I think Pirates again will be in big trouble.
Sure. Well, if you're out there listening and want to stand a chance of winning that 200 Rand betting voucher courtesy of Hollywood Bets, let us know your thoughts on the Pirates captaincy situation happening at the moment. Do you think Happy Jelly should come back into the team and perhaps take his armband back from Tulani Slatswayo, or you know, keep things as they're going with the Bafana captain leading Orlando Pirates as well. Now, the reason why I brought up Pirates in the first place is because they played Baroka this weekend, and for me, one of the bankers of the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Last week, Baroka, I mean, I said banker in everything, and
and we were disappointed. I know
I was very, very
disappointed. We were both in agreement.
I was
with
saying Granny's pension and all of that. Mm-hmm. So this time, I'll use the same words against Baroka. I think Pirates. I mean, I saw TTM Rakhali, that goal that was disallowed.
Yeah.
There was a penalty for TTM which they missed.
Yeah.
So that shows how dominant TTM mm-hmm. were against this Baroka's against this Baroka
side. And the TTM side that have come under immense criticism as well.
Exactly. So I mean, if you struggle like that against the TTM, I know mm-hmm. Pro said TTM deserve a lot more respect, and I think I understand now why people are saying TTM needs that respect, but it was still disappointing on the end of Ibaroka, so I'll go for Pirates to win this one. I think banker in everything.
Banker in everything, Pro.
I called for it. I did say TTM will get something out of that game, because that team is playing one of the best footballs in the country. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people, they are undermining their coach because he's basically an unknown, but he's been there all the time,
mm-hmm.
The coach of TTM. They've assembled, I know the way they've assembled their squad is
funny.
It's funny, but you know what? You know, they've got players who are hungry, who mm-hmm. wants to play, and who wants to prove themselves that, I mean, they are worth to play in the PSL. They brought back even Rulani Manzini. Watch CTM, they are going to upset a lot of teams. I know that at the beginning of the season they were my relegation candidate.
Mine
but,
as well.
Even mine.
But I withdraw. No, CTM are going to cause a lot of upset. And Baroka, on the other hand, you know that they've got this issue with Orlando Pirates. Remember mm-hmm. in PE?
Yeah.
Telkom final?
Yeah.
Yeah. Baroka caused an
upset. How can we forget that?
I mean, it's hard to forget that. This time around, I don't see them beating Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any team beating Pirates at the moment. I think they are on a good run, and I see Pirates winning this one comfortably.
Sure. Well, speaking of good football as well, TS Galaxy certainly impressed me last time out against Swallows. Of course, the scoreline we all predicted a goalless draw, but they definitely impressed me against a Golden Arrow side who didn't do too badly against Chiefs either.
Yeah, again, I think this is going to be another low scoring game. I know people will think it's crazy to say that after Golden Arrows had scored two goals against TKZ Chiefs, but if you look at those goals, for me, I think it was an incorrect penalty that was given. And then the second one, a goal is a goal, but it was just a goal, basically.
Yeah. Moments of brilliance, yeah.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. I wasn't impressed in the way they moved. I mean, they didn't create a lot of chances. I know Ukune made that one-on-one save, but after that, Golden Arrows didn't look like a team that can score two goals. But yeah, a goal is a goal. I think in this game again, and for me, whenever he takes Galaxy and involved, I'll still say low scoring. Their goalkeeper has kept three clean sheets this season. That tells
he's
you
looking like a striker. Have you seen his distribution? Winston van der Linde. Yeah,
that tells you how tight they are at the back. But also going forward, I'm still not convinced with the amount of chances they're creating. So I'll say under 2.5 goals again in this one.
I think that's hard to disagree with what Panile just said, bro.
You know, while you are talking about their goalkeeper, he also used to play as a striker.
Under
Faruqi.
Yeah.
You know, TX Galaxy is a funny story because we are all going to be impressed about how they play. But, I mean, where it matters most.
Trust me. Goals win you games.
Trust me. TX Galaxy are going to be one of the low scoring teams in the PSL this season. And playing against Arrows, a team that is slightly disciplined at the back, it's going to be a low scoring game. And a lovely draw.
Yeah, a draw. Panele, you said under 2.5 goals. Now, hopefully we don't see under 2.5 goals or a draw when Mamelodi Sundowns play Stellenbosch. I'm sure plenty of punters will look to this fixture as one of the games to fire away this weekend.
What one wonders what has happened at Mamelodi Sundowns since the news of the passing of one of the players there. Mm-hmm. But I know that they would like to play for their fallen hero.
Hlompho Kekana actually dedicated his Pushkas Award by his nominee goal for to Anele Ngonga.
To Anele Ngonga, yes. And he played a very key role. I remember one time Coach Piso Mosimane talking about how important he is in his team and the role that he plays on the pitch as well. I strongly believe that Mamelodi Sundowns are going to win this one convincingly because, I mean, they've got a reason to play this match and they will want to give Anele a good send-off, and I don't see Stellenbosch standing in their way. Maybe I sound biased, I don't know.
let's hear some honest analysis from Panele then.
Look, last week I tipped Stellenbosch to win, and they did win, and I did make mention that they were impressive in the bubble. I'm still impressed. I think Stellenbosch again will be the dark horses this season. They'll be one of those teams.
For top eight?
Yeah, definitely. They'll be one of those teams who will cause one or two upsets like they did last season, where you just beat a team like Orlando Pirates and you go draw with the Chiefs when it matters most. So I'm not going to underestimate them. Sundowns, they've been very strong at the back, but the game against the AmaZulu, not convinced, especially with Nascimento. I mean, you can't give away two goals like that. So what do the three coaches then do now? Do they bring in Umusalebusa, who for me has been absolutely fantastic, even at the national team has been fantastic. So what do you do after Nascimento had made those two schoolboy errors? Do you drop him or do you keep him? So it will be an interesting one. And yeah, with what's going on at the club, I know they'll be motivated and all of that. But yeah, it's Stellenbosch for me. They know pushovers. I'll still go for Mamelodi Sundowns, but I wouldn't back everything on this one.
I think it's a good point you raised with their defense. Do you think their defense really needs to be at their best to get points against Stellenbosch?
Do you think
it's going to come down to that?
Look, a lot of people underestimate the PSL. PSL is not as as easy as most people think. Mm-hmm. Teams like Stellenbosch, teams like TTM, they have a lot of fight in them. So, yeah, I know people, they really do underestimate the PSL. And even most players that come from overseas, they come with that hype. What I mean, I come from Belgium, I'm going to do well. And eventually they flop in the PSL because it's not as easy as people think it is. So, yeah, I mean, it defends Mamelodi Sundowns up against anyone. They need to bring their A game.
Ayanda Patosi, that's for you.
I don't remember Steve Barker winning a match against Sundowns, even in his days as a tax coach. So that also is a factor against him. And I know that he would want to get this monkey off his back, but not this time around.
Sure. Well, interesting thoughts. AmaZulu, surprisingly, are outsiders according to the betting against Cape Town City. AmaZulu, you mentioned Sundowns' frail defense. I think a lot of it was down to the pressure that AmaZulu put on them. Outsiders against Cape Town City, I can't understand it.
Yeah, look, Jesse, I mean, if we're being honest, the Cape Town City, they've been a little bit more decent
in Durban, than
AmaZulu.
I think that's what I'm struggling to get my head around.
Yeah, but they'll play at King's Park, so it's not really a fortress for AmaZulu. If it was played at Mlazi or something like that, then maybe AmaZulu should have been more favourites. But one can understand why the betting is slightly more favouring Cape Town City on this one. And I'm still not impressed or convinced with AmaZulu's technical team. I'm not saying Ayanda Dlamini is not the right man, but really, with the quality that they've brought in the club now, I think they need a much more experienced coach.
Remember last season when the two sides played, I think one of the matches was a 2-2 draw, and Cape Town City really struggled against AmaZulu, and at that time AmaZulu, everything was against them. They were basement, and then they were pushing hard, and with Bongi Ntuli scoring goals in that match, I don't see Cape Town City living with all 3 points, even though they are a team to watch this season, but I don't see them taking all the 3 points. I think it's going to be a draw with goals.
Yeah, even me, I'm going to be a bit biased here, and I can't see AmaZulu losing.
How much reading should we put on the 3 goals they scored against Team Mamelodi Sundowns, because those were gifts?
But Sundowns hadn't conceded before that, so you obviously have to put the opponents under some pressure to get goals. I mean, even that one with Winnie that he let in at the end. I mean, it also comes down to AmaZulu's efforts on goal, I think.
Yeah, but that third goal was a foul. The referee missed the foul because the AmaZulu player... Yeah, so, but anyway, you get goals because you put pressure on an opponent.
For sure.
So,
and you force errors too.
Exactly. So, it's going to be a draw for me.
Yeah, sure. Well, hopefully it's a draw for me. lastly, Chippa United against Chakuma. Now, I'm going to change my tone completely on him, because last week I absolutely slaughtered him along with Panelli. Hopefully you change your mind too. For me, value bets of the weekend, Chippa United did not impress me. I was very bullish against Stellenbosch, if you remember.
Yeah.
Yo, how I'm so inconsistent. Your thoughts,
understandable.
Guys.
But yeah, look, I mean, I also didn't think I'll be saying this so early. Like, I don't think by game week 5 I'll be tipping a team like a TTM. But yeah, I have no choice. I think I'll be going with the TTM for me on this one. I think also value bet.
Yeah, Rachale, Manzini, they've all looked good.
Former cheaper players.
Yeah.
But this time around, I think at home, Chippa United will win this one.
Sure. Sounds like we've all changed since last week. You better be tuning in for the first time.
No, you know what? What I've learned to understand about the teams, they seem to play much better when they play at home.
Mm-hmm.
And Chippa United is one of those teams. You know, there come a time when a PSL team wants to play fancy football. There come a time where they want to get the results. I think Chippa United has reached a stage where they need the results, just like Bloemfontein Celtic. Mm-hmm. Celtic needed the results, and they played for the results last night, and that's why they got the full 3 points. Mm-hmm. I think Chippa United, they won't play fancy football.
Mm-hmm.
They will play for the results.
Well, you know what happens when you don't get results at Chippa.
And you know what happens at Chippa. You know the record at Chippa still stands with Manqoba Mnisi. He was fired after one game.
Sure.
So you know that maybe, just maybe, Coach Siema might have got his yellow card, but I'm sure he's going to play for the results and he's going to get them.
Yeah. I think the moment you sign the contract at Echipa United, that's the yellow card. You don't need to wait for results.
Well, guys, interesting thoughts. Remember, if you're out there listening and you want to stand a chance of winning that 200 Rand betting voucher courtesy of Hollywood Bets, let us know your thoughts on the captaincy situation at Orlando Pirates. Should Tulani Hlatswayo keep his armband that he's currently been having, or should Happy Chele come back into the team and, of course, retain the armband that led Orlando Pirates through all these doubtful years? Let us know your thoughts, and if your comments hit the target, we'll credit your accounts with the 200 Rand betting voucher. Gents, until next week,
sharp.
Sharp. Thank you, Seba. What was your